Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Roundball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Joel Anthony, Chance Comanche, Joey Devine, PJ Dozier, Matt Fish, Sean Keane, Tito Horford, Jamario Jones, special guests Andy Jewett, Adam Morris, Patreons Mitch Rodericks, thank you Mitch, Charles F, thank you Charles, Adam Ellsworth, thank you Adam, musical guest the Lumineers, and now the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new rib cracking, lug stomping episode. I'm here as always with America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I had 7 MRIs today, Joey. My puppy jumped on me to wake me up. I had to get that checked out. I got my shoulder checked out when someone didn't hold the elevator for me. I also had to get an MRI on my feelings when a neighbor didn't say hi to me in the hallway. So, yeah, it's been rough, but I've been cleared to podcast today, Joey.
I suspended your dog. Don't worry. All right.
Good.
We've got a great episode with our friends from Denver to talk Nuggets and some other stuff. But before we do that, let's do some business off the top. RoundRockPod@gmail.com is where you email us. @RoundRockPod is where you tweet at us if you're if you like Elon Musk. And business, buy t-shirts at the link in the description. And most importantly, you can listen to Sean's multitude of bonus pods and some other stuff that I do occasionally, or join our Discord at patreon.com/roundrockpod. But without further ado, we had our friend Adam Morris, who I believe is only our second guest who's ever been on the Low Post. So for those of you listening out there in listener land, you can try and guess who the other guest is. From DNVR Sports, and knows everything about the Denver Nuggets, and our friend Denver raconteur, producer, writer, comedian, huge fan, Andy Jewett. Here are Sean and I talking to them about Carl Anthony Towns and other stuff.
Let's go. Thanks, buddy.
We're here with our friends, comedian, producer, weed guy, radio man, Denver raconteur, Andy Jewett, a man of many, many titles and talents, and, of course, from DNVR Sports, the man who knows the most about the Nuggets, Adam Morris.
I said that before you got on, Adam.
Yeah. We've got a guy who knows the most about the Nuggets and a guy who knows the most about Frosty Nugs, Andy Jewett. weed! All right.
Ever guys, heard of it?
Yeah. Guys, you're Denver Nuggets reporter slash and a fan. How you feeling right now? We're one game in. I'm recording this. You beat the crap out of Karl Anthony Towns. It was embarrassing for Karl Anthony Towns, but that is par for the course if you're Karl Anthony Towns. It seems like that happens 10 to 12 times a year.
It's so true.
Even when you miss two-thirds of the season, the other third is just still full of humiliation after humiliation.
Yeah. I'm feeling something I haven't felt before. Confidence in the Denver Nuggets. And it's a really uncomfortable thing. Like, I've just, you know, you get the big game one win, 30, 29 points or whatever. And you're like, wow, that was awesome. But, you know, now the adjustments come. And as I go through all the tape and talk to people and just think about what the adjustments, I'm like, they're going to do it again. I mean, come on. So it's a weird position to be in where I feel like I'm missing something.
Right.
Because of how certain I feel, you know, about the Denver Nuggets' supremacy in the series.
Yeah, because it was interesting just having watched game one and being somewhat familiar with the team, but not like not watching them with an eagle eye this year. It didn't even look like they necessarily played that well for them, and they won by 30. Yeah. It wasn't like, I mean, Jokic made a lot of great plays, but it was, you know, it didn't feel like anybody had a crazy outlier performance in game one.
That's because they didn't. I mean, that's kind of what it was. And that's part of the confidence.
Yeah. Well, All I was going to say was, I think, you know, they had a 2 or 3 month stretch before the All-Star break that was kind of like another reason to feel super confident and, you know, with all sorts of combinations of people. And then some of those people got hurt in the last month of the season, and then the combinations were all jacked up. They clinched the division or the conference early ish with the Grizzlies, and between not caring after the All-Star break and then getting to the Grizzlies and then not caring again, it looked like, well, are they going to snap back into it? And then, you know, come the game the other night, you know, they, like you said, nobody had like a vanguard performance, although Jamal definitely put in a great one, good, if not great, given the circumstances of being his first playoff game in 1400 days or something. But I think the encouraging thing, like Adam was saying, is like, and as far as confidence is everyone contributed, know, like I think 6 or 7 guys had double figures. They all showed up, and the, you know, what Joey was saying and about Towns, it's like, you want to root for all these guys because Karl Anthony Towns seems like a super nice guy. He's had
tragedy
in his life. I want to root for Karl Towns. And yet time and again, he and Rudy Gobert make me think that they're bad.
Karl Anthony Towns is like a rare NBA player who seems, there's only one other one I can think of, who seems like uncomfortable in his own skin in like a really weird way, like where he's like, I got to do a fake voice at this press conference now.
You think, well, hold on. I'm on a pull on this thread. Who's the other guy? Yeah, hold on real quick.
Give us a hint.
To me, the entirety of what's happened to Kevin Durant since he left the Oklahoma City Thunder has been a man who is like searching for himself.
You know what, man? Yeah, this is great insight. This is actually a good conversation. So here's the thing. I think all of these guys are uncomfortable in their own skin. Almost all of them. All of them. Like being around them and just seeing it. And Karl Anthony Towns is the most interesting because he is the least what he thinks he is supposed to be. These guys all think like their social media and all this different stuff. You get the constant feedback. And we all know that you can get 10 compliments and one insult, and the insult's the one you remember, right? Mm-hmm. Well, these guys are getting that on overdrive. And I think that they have there's a mistake to think that you can win people over. You can't. You just can't win everyone over. And I think these guys have to, when they do the training where they teach all the different athletes, like, all the weird, uncomfortable lessons of being famous and how to like protect yourself. They need somebody in there that's like, just so you know, millions of people are going to hate you for no reason. And there's nothing you can do about that. Awesome. And don't change who you are to try to appease them. And I think that's what with Towns, by all accounts, the nicest dude, this or that. The funniest moment of his career to me was last year when they won a game and he had the line, he was mic'd up and he's like, now they have to come back to Minnesota. And it was just like the weakest sounding trash talk anyone had ever heard in your life. And it's like, hey, man, that's who you are. And it's fine. It's cool.
Yeah, but you, what you're forgetting is, so you did a high voice for that. Yeah, and then the interview he gave the next game, he was like, we're going to win every game. It's really fun. Oh, this is what you
what
do
time
when you're
playing.
Oh, there's one score.
Man, these guys just have to learn, man. They're all going to hate you. So, and I think KD is one who, again, he kind of is to me himself on social media and stuff. And turns out he's kind of not that cool and he's kind of annoying. And I kind of almost like it more from, like, oh, there's another terrible tweet from KD, just like me.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Joey, though, about him putting on like a almost an affected voice or persona, though. Like he seems like he was like cool, calm and collected until like some benchmark in the Warriors days. And then he left and it's like, there's just been like this sort of vibe of like, he needs to like overcompensate by constantly telling us what he thinks about absolutely everything, like the rest of us. And it's like, if I was like, I don't even know why we're online now. Any of us.
Yeah.
Other than mm-hmm. you know, maybe Adam for sports. Like there's like, why?
Our friend Corbin yeah. Smith actually said Kevin Durant is proof that posting is actually the greatest feeling in the world.
Oh, it's the biggest high. Yeah.
He is a man who has literally posterized people and yet he cannot stop posting. Like yeah. that feels better than actually dunking on a Twitter egg is must feel better than dunking on a person.
I mean, he did say he followed someone's Instagram account because they were talking about suicide, and yeah, Kevin Durant just depressed. Silently watched their Instagram stories for
no,
months.
No, he like DM'd him for 3 months, like asking, like, what's that like? Like, it wasn't like trying to help the guy. It was like, I'm trying to figure out what being a depressed person is like.
Uh-huh. And then, like, and there was wow. not a point where he like turned and looked at his own reflection and was like, oh, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like season one of Fargo where, you know, he's like just trying to slowly convince people to kill themselves. Yes. So it's like his side hustle.
Yeah, he's like, I won a ring and I didn't feel anything, but maybe if I take a life, the ultimate thrill.
Yeah, behind this joke, there's something real, though, because he is the guy that talked about this winning the title and being like, I just thought I would feel something and I didn't. And it's like actually a horrifying thought if you
sit and
think
about it. Remember before that to me is the like, I mean, I've actually sort of, I believe I described him as the NBA's Mr. Ripley, where he just like becomes the people he's around. Because like in Oklahoma, he was like, I have a Bible in my backpack.
Right.
Just
right.
like then, my friend Harris. Yeah.
This is yeah. such a great take. Yeah.
It's like Brian Kelly at LSU. Yeah.
And this is a fantastic take. So he'd be like country music and cowboys and stuff. Is this like,
And then he goes to, Brooklyn and he's like, hey, I'm walking here. Basically,
this is the best take ever.
Anyway, back to the Denver Nuggets. My question for you guys, my biggest question after game one, is if Christian Braun fought Kyle Anderson, would that be the slowest fight in NBA history?
No, because I think Christian
Brown, sorry.
As Adam and his cohorts at DMVR like to call it, we're living in Brown Town.
That's right, baby.
He, I feel like slow-mo would still be slow and whatever, but Brown would be like a little like cartoon rabbit man punching super fast.
The NBA, man, it's uncomfortable to be an NBA analyst because so often you're talking about guys' bodies. We do this on DNVR. We call it male form corner. But Kyle Henderson has a very unique forehead, and Christian Braun has a very unique neck in a way that's always distracting when I look at the two of them. And so picturing them a fight, they would look like two cartoon villains fighting each other.
Definitely.
Christian
Braun's super tough, though. Like, he's deceivingly tough. Like, you think he's just like an 18-year-old from Kansas because that's how he presents, but he's like razor sharp elbows and like wins at everything and like will dive on the ball if it's a grenade. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's pretty tall. He's taller than you think, too.
Yes. So does Kyle Anderson, though. I will say, yeah. I stood next to him, like very close to him the other day for a media scrum. Mm, it was
sick
the first
brag,
time I
Adam.
Remember. Yeah, right, I don't know going. If you guys saw that. I was right shoulder to shoulder with him.
Adam was at practice today, guys.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard. But he was also really tall, so I don't know. I will say, though, it cracked me up because they get in the fight, right? The little scuffle. And then immediately afterward, they hug out and apologize to each mm-hmm. other. I just thought this was like
it was very it was polite.
The funniest way for that thing to end of like, hey man, I'm just going through some stuff right now in this yeah. game. And
mm-hmm.
it was a guy who looked like a hockey player fighting with a guy with a mentality of a hockey player. Like,
yeah.
if like, I would say that Kyle Anderson is the most non-Canadian Canadian, like most Canadian non-Canadian in NBA history.
What
like,
another he has great
the,
take.
He has he feels Canadian is what
he has
I'm
Trey
saying,
Lyles right? energy. Yeah, you can yeah. say it. It's Trey Lyles energy. Trey Lyles, by the way, I remember one time that my favorite Trey Lylesism is, you know, guys always post on Instagram. It's something cool. He would always post like making a model car.
Yeah.
You know, like the one that you like glue together. And I'm always like, is this really how
he
this
would get along great with Carl Anthony Towns?
Yeah.
he's had like father of three vibes since he was like 21. Yeah. Too. Yeah. As you see him come into a game and you're like, wow, this grizzled veteran. And then it's like, no, he just turned 27, guys.
So true, man. So true.
Sorry. I have a quick question about game one. Did Nikola Jokic foul out with 6 minutes to go in the game just because he was bored by the Minnesota Timberwolves, or was there a simulcast of some kind of European harness race starting late on Sunday that he needed to check out?
I honestly think it was a bit of a middle finger to Michael Malone, to be honest with you. Like, I think it was a little bit of like, dude, what the hell is your problem?
Why was 27? He in the game?
Yeah, yeah, like, they were up quite a bit.
It's because Michael Malone is, people don't know this. Michael Malone's a great coach. He has mm-hmm. some flaws. And his mm-hmm. biggest flaw is that dude never gets out of the red. He is mm-hmm. always in overdrive, just panic like this or that. And I'm sure he looked up and he's like, I got to get Nikola back in there. They just cut it to 27. Like, we just had yeah. it to 31 and now it's down to 27 and we don't want this to unravel.
It's the most gas tank in the fire for the people that are in the engine, rather, that for the people that are like anti-Malone, you know, like the trust that he's built, the culture that he's built, all those things are incredible. There are some questions about matchups, X's and O's occasionally, and certainly light leaning too heavily on Jokic that come up all the time. And, you know, there are some games, Adam, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'd say there are 82 games. I'd say there were maybe 8 to 10 games minimum where I'm like, why is Jokic in?
Yeah, of course.
And the answer is because he feels no comfort, and rightfully so, because we blow a lot of leads late in the game, because not just this year, but the last 6 years, I would say, you know, one of their biggest problems is as they get better, they get bored. It's like one of their a recurring through line. When they're dominating, they're like, all right, we're good. We'll take the last month of the season off.
Yeah, yeah. Sean and yeah. I are Warrior fans. We're familiar with that.
We've experienced yeah. that phenomenon, yeah.
But Andy, this is the weirdest detail about Malone. And maybe it might have been one of you guys that tweeted this out. Huge deadhead. Like,
that
love
was,
the Grateful
that
Dead.
That seems like not. A tweet that we would, one yeah, of us would tweet, but I did not tweet that.
I didn't go to Grateful Dead night. It's one of the only games I missed all year, and I was so mad.
So he's a huge Grateful Dead fan, apparently. Like, that's wow. like his favorite band. And it's like, yeah, this is, I think, a common thing for CEOs of companies to be like unhinged lunatics, mm-hmm. that this is their escape, is once a year they go to Burning Man or something. You know, like, well, to me, this is Michael Malone in a nutshell.
It also makes sense to be a Grateful Dead fan when you're a crazy type A lunatic like that, yeah. because you can essentially find any live recording that they've made in the last 53 years, and people are categorizing them in a weird way. And like, there's always guys you can share your list for. And, you know, it is kind of a weird organizational freak's dream. Just yeah. just dick's pics, you know.
I'm actually really bummed to learn that information, because to me, Michael Malone's accent and voice and the way he looks, I always imagine him as the deep voiced guy in like a 4-man a cappella group standing around a trash can that's on fire in the uh-huh. Bronx.
Really?
Like,
wow, this is
like one of the Jersey Boys. Yeah, yeah.
He loves the boardwalk.
Like, yeah, doing like, do wa diddy diddy dum diddy do.
he does seem like he would do just fine at a public school in the Bronx or something. But he also, just like oddly and randomly interesting, like I grew up in Detroit and his sister was in my best friend's school. And we never knew. I knew his sister when Brendan Malone, his father, was the assistant for the Denver or for the Detroit Pistons when they won their championships. And Brendan Malone's like the super respected guy. And like, I didn't know till way later that Michael Malone was, or that I didn't even know he existed. And so I don't know. He's like a mixture of like Midwest and East Coast.
No, I strongly disagreed. Michael Malone is 100% New York.
Yeah,
this guy today he brought up something about, yeah, man, I grew up in the garden, you know, like he, yeah. every week he has a new
the
New York
only
thing.
Person he reminds me of is Chris Mullen. Those are like the two. Yeah, that's like so the true. Very yeah. specific right. New York
same
white
voice.
Guy.
Yeah, like, somehow like, their larynx is just constantly oh like has a piece of pepperoni pizza. Just
Michael Malone is the most New York person I think I've ever met.
Such
in my
a good
life.
Halloween costume for Michael Malone.
Well, it's the other thing that's amazing about Michael Malone is everybody assumed he was bald for years until the pandemic.
Because he was just on fire.
He just cut his hair so short that people are like, yeah, this guy's clearly losing his hair. When the pandemic comes, he can't, you know, get a military style haircut at whatever place he's going in Crown Heights. And suddenly it's like, yeah, he's got a full head of hair.
He'll, I'm kicking not losing myself. His hair at all. I'm kicking myself that I didn't come up with this take because I've had this thought where I was like, I thought you were bald, man.
Now it's like him and Jeremy Piven, basically. And he didn't have to have his hair was not sewn in, you know?
Right. So
also, the other Mike Malone has never eaten sushi. I guarantee it. There is no way Michael Malone is getting mercury poisoning because the only thing he's ever eaten is a dollar slice of cheese.
Yeah, he's he ate a chicken palm on special on cheat day.
I eat a bagel once a year, and it's the water.
So did you know how he used to work out in the bubble, right?
Michael Malone?
Yeah.
Please. Maybe I've forgotten. I don't know if there's a detail I've retained from the bubble.
Might know the most about the Denver Nuggets, but Sean knows the most about Michael Malone.
I know a lot of stupid things about a lot of players and coaches. So they don't have that many spots to work out, but there's this big, you know, at whatever Disney facility that Ron DeSantis is about to turn into a jail. Until then, you know, it's kind of like that because they sort of, yeah. They kind of had a yard. So they had this this big just kind of walking, jogging track around a fake lake. And so a lot of people just walk around it, you know, to get out of their hotel room. Some guys would be jogging. Michael Malone had a bicycle that he rode, like did like interval training sprints around the edge of it. And periodically he would jump off his bike, like throw it to the side of the track and drop and do like 30 pushups and get back on it. And he was doing this and suddenly people were seeing him and they were just kind of like, what is this guy do? Like it was just a weird, insane, intense workout, but he was sort of surprised like that it looked weird for me all the time.
Can you imagine being trapped inside Disney World with Michael Malone for 90 days?
Oh my god.
It's like a Mad Lib of night and night.
What do you think his favorite Disney World ride would be?
Man, I wish I had a snarky answer for this, but I don't know.
Chaos. Right? Doesn't he like, wouldn't he like something really like erratic and crazy to get his adrenaline up?
Yeah.
He lives in constant state of red face.
Yeah.
See, I don't think it's an adrenaline up ride, but I do think because he's full of chaos, it's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And he's just like, this is why you don't drink drive, folks.
Oh man.
Is that even a ride anymore? I think they killed it.
Oh, it is in Los Angeles Disney World or Anaheim.
I think they rebranded the one in Florida and it's like Toy Story or Bug's Life or something.
Well, that's lame because we need to every child should have to know what it's like to get to drink and drive and then get sentenced to death by a judge and then go to hell.
Go to hell. Actually go to hell at the end of that ride.
Things certainly have changed in the last 20 years. No Country Bear Jamboree. Apparently that's offensive, but whatever.
I want to ask you guys about DeAndre Jordan real quick.
Oh, that was not what I thought.
That's what the people want. That's what the people want.
Yeah.
Did you feel after game one, when DeAndre Jordan briefly became Clippers era DeAndre Jordan, did you feel a little justified after everyone made fun of that signing for 8 months? Were you like, oh, that's all great. I feel good now.
I don't know.
Feel better.
I feel like, sorry, Adam, I'm going first this time.
I like it.
I feel like we were all kind of scratching our heads because there were definitely other large people that were available at that time. He was like our last signing at my recollection. And, you know, after a pretty good draft where we all, Adam and I were in Vegas for, you guys were too, duh, Summer League and all that. Like we saw all the young guys and, you know, we're like, man, this is some pretty good guys. And okay, they're picking up some pieces that are nice. Okay, KCP, that's nice. DeAndre Jordan, it's like, what's he going to do? And the reality is he did what he can do the other night. And that's all he can do. And I don't know. I don't want to disparage DeAndre Jordan because I think he's an incredible locker room guy and mentor. And like he gives the children candy and he seems like whatever. While we're on the subject, before I shut up on my take, does everyone? I know Adam's seen this, but have you seen what he does before the games?
No.
he takes like a weird blue tackle box. And he takes it behind the scorer's table and he points to a child and he goes like this. Uh-huh. And then
for those not on video, he's waving his finger in a real come hither manner. All right. Yes. Going,
it looks a little bit weird. And then the child comes and he's like one piece of candy. It's like the child is equal as elated and thrilled. And then he gets there and he has this giant box of candy and they get to choose one piece. Mm-hmm. And he's a millionaire, and it just really, I don't understand it at all.
So when he's out for the night, does he put a little sign up that says one piece only, and then one little bully kid comes and empties the box into his backpack?
Yeah, he leaves. He's got a funny Adam's Family hand that grabs the piece, and yes, only one per kid. Thank you.
It's actually what Doc Rivers did to keep him from signing with the Mavericks that one time. He showed up at the house with a See's candy sampler, and then he's like, "I'm in for the night, boys."
But all I was gonna end with, and I'll hand it off to Adam, is that. But what he does is he rebounds and he defends and he catches alley oops and slams them in and energizes the team. And it's super Malone-ish to not play Zeke Nagy there, to not play anybody else there. Go, this guy's a 17-year veteran. I'm gonna let this guy dunk it on an alley oop from three different players.
Yes.
It's not even that, man. Have you guys ever heard of the Mongol Rally? Anybody ever heard of this? It'd be really random if you have. It's a car race. You're supposed to buy a car for $1,500 and drive it from like London to Mongolia. So you have to drive it through like thousands of miles on rough roads, and it's a cheap little beater car.
Like if you're on, but for other people.
Exactly. So this is like, if you pick that and you're trying to pick your team, you'd be like, well, I need my mechanic buddy, Jerry. He's just so good at fixing cars. And I need my guy who speaks all these languages. I'm bringing him. And you sit there and you go, wait, I have to be in a car with these people for like 4 weeks. This is pretty miserable. That's what an NBA season is like. And the Nuggets checked out of all the boxes and they're like, we need to bring some guys that are just fun to be around. And DeAndre Jordan to me is the ultimate. This guy's going to make the car ride way more interesting.
And Jeff.
And Jeff, and like, you know what? We got some guys that have good playlists. They got good jokes. Everyone likes them. And he's honestly, it sounds cliche, but there is a reason that two teams flew to Dallas to lock him inside of his house back in 2012 or whatever. It's because that guy is an ultimate vibes guy, man.
We even see it that he's maybe the least famous NBA guy who's been in multiple State Farm commercials. You know, there's a point when it's like, yeah, it's Chris Paul, Dame Lillard, and then DeAndre Jordan there. Mm-hmm. Because DeAndre's like, yeah, I'll pretend to be afraid of skunks, whatever. I'll put on a dress. It's fine. Anything for the team, anything for Team Jake, you know?
I've never seen him down though. Like even at practice and stuff, he's just always bouncing off the walls in a way that I'm like, you do need that energy, man. Cause this job, I mean, it's the best job in the world, yeah. These NBA players, but yeah. It does get monotonous.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Sean mentioned a State Farm commercial, so I got to do this real quick.
Drip, drip, drop.
Dropping dives. Oh, just the worst. All right, keep going.
So I have a question about another nugget who has really found a home, Aaron Gordon. And he had a really kind of under the radar solid here. Do you think that his performance this year is based on finally letting go of his dunk contest dreams? Like, has he finally just made peace with, I'm never going to win a dunk contest. Now it's only regular basketball accomplishments.
Said at the All-Star break, KCP said he would do the 3-point contest if they asked. And Aaron Gordon said he'd do the dunk contest if he was in the All-Star game. So yeah. I think that in principle, I love what you're saying. But when he got to Denver, he chose the number 50 and it was like, yes, we get.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's number 50 now. And it's, you know, probably the fourth or fifth best-selling jersey, which is kind of a bummer because he deserves a little more street cred than that. But,
well, 50 is also just like, there's something psychological to me where 50, you just can't wear 50, man. That's not a number I want to represent. If Jokic wore 50, I'd be like, I'm buying a Murray jersey.
55, though, good number. 50, you're right. Yeah, I do. I think 55 is cool.
Dikembe?
But also it's like double nickels on the dime. You know what I mean? It's like, right. I can't drive this.
50 yeah. to me, look, I'm a big guy.
It's a hockey number.
I grew up getting the 50. I grew up getting the dumb numbers because that's just what they gave the big guys. That's why I think it's dumb.
I mean, who's the most famous 50? David Robinson?
Yes.
Again.
Yeah, even that is player, like,
but not that cool, man. Like,
yeah,
David Robinson is the most like teacher energy.
It's cool if teacher. You're a troop. All right.
Yeah, you know, the 50, I'm looking at this list of famous 50s, and the guy who has number 50 energy more than anyone else, Corey Maggette.
Man,
that's wild.
He's like too cool to be number 50.
He
was not on your team. He was not cool. Corey Maggette was not cool. Trust me.
You know what?
He's cool if you don't have to watch him every night. But then you watch him one time and you're like, oh no, this is like if you took everything cool about Carmelo Anthony and removed it and left what was left.
Well, I mean, he had a great body though, Joey.
If you guys were to like bomb us with some sort of graphic right now, and Adam and I had to do a multiple choice and guess which one was number 50, and it said Cody Zeller, Mason Plumlee, Bob Lanier, and Corey Maggette, we would not have picked Corey.
I would not have guessed. No.
You know what Corey Maggette's youth charity was called when he played for the Clippers?
What?
Uh-oh, Maggette-os. It really was. It sounds like I'm making that up. That's really what he called it.
That's what Paul Millsap has his name for a charity.
That does sound like a charity where you do like walk around and hand out candy one piece at a time, though. So
it's like Millsap had the vote for Millsap shirt in the bubble, and I feel like it was like everyone making political statements, and he's like, you guys get it? Vote for Millsap.
Yeah. Remember Napoleon Dynamite?
The greatest thing Paul Millsap did during COVID wasn't even wearing the Vote for Millsap shirt either. It was learning magic. He learned to know to do close-up magic.
Okay, you guys, Jamal Murray, is he back? Is he back, guys?
Adam, go first.
Is that a question that's ever come up this season?
I don't know if you know this, but we have a running bit about it. I mean, we do it every single game. We have the Jamal back meter because he's good one game and bad the next, and that's just been who he is. So currently, back.
He seemed pretty back on Monday.
Let's like it's a sprint, a marathon, not a sprint though. We got 16 games to win. We've won one of them. There's 15 more games. If that takes 25 games, how does how does Jamal do? And that's the big question. But I mean, in terms of confidence, Adam, wouldn't you say that from certainly the beginning of the season to now, it hasn't been like up and to the right, but I'd say it's like,
honestly, it's the Jamal experience, man. I have no idea if this guy's good or not. Like, Jamal Murray is the weirdest player, and I watch every single game. His peaks are obviously awesome, but I say with no confidence. I mean, I was talking to some Timberwolves people today, and they were saying Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards need to be the second and third best player in the series. And my instinct was to be like, that's crazy. And then I was like, that's probably right, though. I don't know. Yeah. Is Jamal Murray better than them? I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, bubble Jamal is better than Steph Curry, maybe, but I don't know. I don't know if that guy exists outside of Jamal Murray is so weird because, again, it's like the last time we saw him really as like a basketball viewing public was the bubble, and everyone was so awesome in the bubble, and he was the most awesome in the bubble. Yeah. So it's like this weird, like, grading on a curve, but the curve is everyone starts at an A.
Yeah. I think the question is like, also, you know, one thing that you can count on him for is if the game is on the line, he's probably going to make a pretty good shot, and or he's going to make all of his free throws.
Yeah, because his dad made him do all that yoga.
His dad was like, hey, it's 4 a.m. Get outside, shovel the walk, and do some push-ups.
Yeah.
In Canada. But you can always count on him pretty unilaterally when something important's going to happen. But it's like, will his body cooperate? Like, from the right before the bubble, I'd say, or that year of the bubble, and maybe even a little earlier, till the point he got hurt the next season, he was absolutely up and to the right on the graph. And it was like, oh, he's going to solidify himself as an all-star, and this is where we're going. And the last, you know, 18 months, and then now 5 months of playing or whatever, it's like, to Adam's point, like, you don't really know. But I do, like what Adam said about the beginning of this podcast, it's like, I do have sort of a weird feeling like everyone's congealing right now, and his health will hold out, but like, will he be dominant and be like Donovan Mitchell? I don't know.
Well, you don't want him to be like Donovan Mitchell, because that means
he's down to the Knicks.
I was going to say that means losing to another small guard who was drafted like 80 picks behind him.
All right. Jamal's cool though, man. Like, I'll tell you, Jamal, his comp to me is Kobe. I know people think that's weird because you think guards are going to be Curry, right? Or Dame or something. Because
he likes poetry?
Because he loves poetry. He just has great footwork. Like, he's kind of a mid-range assassin, a mid-range guy. He likes to play with his back to the basket. And a lot of his moves are not the Iverson-esque double crossover, whatever. They're just like good footwork. He has really good followaways and stuff like that. And it's when he's good, it's really cool. It feels good. The opposite end of that spectrum is Rudy Gobert, who for a long time was awesome, but nothing he did looked cool. Mm-hmm. Gobert had that. What's that bowler who's the, like, who do you think you are? I am
Gobert. Pete Weber,
and that guy is too cool to compare him to Rudy Gobert. I'm sorry, we can't do that.
Rudy Gobert has like this was my favorite thing about Gobert is he would like make an awesome game saving block and then do the dorkiest little like hand movements, and he'd be like, oh yes, man, poor Gobert.
There is
Weber and Rudy Gobert, though, both gave a lot of people COVID, I bet.
Yeah, that's
common ground. Yeah.
It just shows that listening to the Joe Rogan podcast every day poisons you from being cool from the second you start listening. Don't do it, kids.
Okay, who's your favorite new nugget for 2022-23? A guy that wasn't on the team last year.
Oh, well, KCP for sure, right?
That's a good interesting. Because I'm not a Nuggets fan, and mine is Bruce Brown by far.
It's one of those two guys. But here's the thing. When people give Jokic trouble or the Nuggets trouble, it's like, particularly Jokic, but like everybody on Twitter and everywhere else that has no brain in their head thinks that, you know, he didn't play defense last year, he doesn't play defense now, or whatever his problem is, and he couldn't get out of the first round. It's like, you guys, this guy had his the bench was the best player on the bench was Monte Morris. Okay. Mm-hmm. The best player. And then you've got, he's playing with Bryn Forbes and Austin Rivers and Facundo Campazzo and Will Barton, who just got basically cut by the Wizards and can't play for the Raptors. Forbes is out of the league. Faku's out of the league.
It's so true.
Yeah. Wow.
And so he played. These guys really beat Damian Lillard, by the way.
Yeah.
In a playoffs. I just want to put this on the record. Starting.
But yeah, but like KCP and Bruce Brown are like, kind of like Adam said that Green and DJ are like stabilizing forces on the veteran side. KCP and Bruce Brown, KCP's obviously great veteran, but like, and same with Bruce Brown, but they both have like added an element of steadiness. Although Bruce Brown couldn't find a shot for about 2 months.
That's the Bruce Brown experience.
He's one of those guys that plays so hard it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know, he makes up for it when he's having a shitty 2 months. Well, he also had, you know, 8 rebounds a game and 10 points every night and, you know, ignited people with 3 dunks in the game, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
My favorite players are all 6'3 power forwards, except for Anthony Randolph, who was a 7-foot shooting guard. All right, yeah, keep going.
All right, Adam, who's your favorite new guy?
I think it's KCP too, but only because it's funny how you ask me this question and I take the nerdiest reason. I just like the way he plays and fits.
Yeah. No, like there's nothing wrong with that.
There's not, but it's also, I don't have anything else to add there because Bruce, I will say this about Bruce. We were joking about the chameleon or whatever, you know, fitting in the KD thing. Bruce Brown's in Denver, going to the stock show. He has all these Stenson hats. I'm not even this Colorado, like the Stenson cowboy hats. He loves Luke Combs. He plays golf all the time. Like, he's leaning into the Colorado lifestyle so hard in a way that I think is actually, I don't think he's playing a part. I think it's who he is. But it's hilarious to me that he really is the most Colorado person to ever come through Denver. And
like,
me,
if he wasn't a pro basketball player, he'd be down at Dirk's Bentley Whiskey Row, which is a terrible bar in our town owned by a country star, every night just slamming it. He'd clean up.
You're listing his interests, and I'm like, are you talking about Chris Voth or an NBA player right now?
Yeah, NBA player from Boston, no less.
Bruce Brown loves he like would rather listen to Morgan Wallen and go fishing than like go to the club.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Eric Gordon, and this drop, you have been replaced.
Let's ride.
It's funny with KCP too because I just like it when a team just has had a hole on the roster for as long as you can remember and they finally make a deal and address it. And you just, it's like, I mean, I can't remember when they had a playable small forward on both ends, like Wilson Chandler.
I mean, but this is different. I mean, this is a guy that's actually a great defensive player and a great shooter. And the thing about KCP that I didn't know, I had no idea what his personality was. I mean, I think he's from Georgia. Like, he's a real quiet Georgia boy. But I just didn't know that. I don't know why I didn't know any of this or had an impression of what he was like. But he fits Will into this Barton, roster real well, too.
Will Barton was in his slot. He was wearing pearls and driving a Land Rover and taking selfies of himself with shrimp on his chest in a yacht in Estonia. And KCP...
Is that the hot place where all the athletes are going these days, Estonia?
It's one of them. I think anywhere you can get a big 120-footer, Adam. But, you know, I think Marlin and peanut butter about the face. You take a nap, you wake up, and you go, hey, I'm in the NBA. I'll take a swim. Yeah. But KCP's steadiness is highly welcome because Will Barton, like at his best, he has a lot of like Nuggets records or close to Nuggets records. Like he knifed to the hole with efficiency and skill for like a while. He was injured a lot and he was kind of in a distraction. His rap album is very bad. It is on my Nuggets pregame list. I do suggest for you to go check out Big Thrill. KCP is like an adult who comes in with his fucking lunch pail like Paul Millsap did and maybe isn't quite as vocal or I don't know, like paternalistic as Millsap, but he like, I don't know how you feel, Adam. I feel like the starting five is wildly stable when they're all healthy.
I mean, it's perfect. I mean, that's what's cool about basketball. We don't talk about basketball enough in the terms of like when five guys all kind of mind meld, how cool it is. We always talk about the individual. That's why the Nuggets, I'm hopeful. I mean, we're seeing this with Sacramento, by the way. I know we're talking about Nuggets here, but Sacramento, these last two games have been such a great connected team playing connected basketball. Mm-hmm. And you're going like, how are they taking all these punches? It's because it's not one guy taking them. It's a team taking them, and they just bounce right back. And that's what the Nuggets starting lineup is for sure.
It's not punches, it's stomps to the chest, actually, in the ribs area.
One thing I want
to say about Will Barton while he's up is I will say, as a Golden yes. State Warrior fan, if Will Barton played the Golden State Warriors every night, he would be David Thompson. without the drug addiction. That guy scored like 40 points every time he played the Warriors, not in the playoffs. All right, Sean, go ahead.
Oh, just the Kings do remind me of this, and I've been enjoying, as much as I'm hating that the Warriors are down 0-2 in this series, it is nice to see people recognize that Harrison Barnes has just been a really good NBA player for a decade. And you're like, oh yeah, he's kind of good at everything.
Yeah. I unfortunately, when he dunked on Klay Thompson last night, I literally said out loud, good for him.
Yeah. We really didn't blame him very much for his bad. I kind of think that the amount of heat Harrison Barnes got when the Warriors lost in the NBA Finals was a little unfair.
Yeah, especially because like the year before he was in the Finals, he was literally better than Klay awesome. Thompson. Yeah.
The first two games of the Finals, he was like the leading scorer on the team. It's
not Harrison Barnes' fault that Draymond Green couldn't help punching LeBron in the nuts or throwing Michael Beasley on the ground in the first round or playing Festus Ezeli and and Anderson Varejão in the fourth quarter. Go ahead.
Do you know what Harrison Barnes's fatal flaw is, though? He's not cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, he's yeah. A dork. He's honestly, it's like
he'd be so great on the Nuggets.
Well, he'd be great on the Nuggets.
The Model UN player. I always thought that Harrison Barnes going to Sacramento was great because he's the only NBA player I could think of who would be psyched to play in a state capital.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he wants to go to the. You know, check out the statues and
that's
you know,
so see true. Where,
see where literally, literally, when he was on the Warriors, Harrison Barnes held a contest that was watch the season premiere of Game of Thrones with me. And it was a two-part contest. One, you had to answer multiple choice trivia about Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. And then if you got 100% on that, then you had to write an essay 100%. About why you should watch Game of Thrones with Harrison Barnes. And he every essay and invited like 8 people to his house to watch Game of Thrones.
I'm sure he served like nutritious snacks.
Bruce Brown is doing that, but with Yellowstone. All invited to his house, and DeAndre Jordan's going to wear his famous black leather and turquoise hat.
Uh-huh. And that contest would just be an oral report. He's not going to make you write NLA format. Get out of here.
He made people write an essay.
Can we talk about Draymond real quickly?
Well, Sean, this is Joey breaking in from the future.
Oh, my God.
Everything we are about to say with the Denver guys is null and void because late tonight, Draymond Green got suspended. So you know what that means. We're hearing this drop for the second time.
If you want me to be honest with you, I still don't know how much the world may think it blew up.
Sparked by the leak of the video, the incident did blow up. It went viral.
So, Draymond Green had another viral incident, Sean. And he is so viral, they put him in health and safety protocols for game 3.
Yeah, it feels like... I mean, how do you judge the tea leaves of this? It seems like there was probably some debate on this, considering that they released the information at 11:45 Eastern time.
Yeah.
After they'd already
reported he wasn't going to get suspended.
Is a little questionable. the aggregator from Clutch Sports confidently predicted that Draymond would not be suspended. I'm not sure who his source was.
Shams tweeted it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
The aggregator from Clutch Sports.
I thought you were. My bad.
You thought I was talking about Clutch Points.
Clutch Points. I thought you were talking about Clutch Points. I was like, no they're Sean.
They're the art direction kings of NBA aggregation. No, I just think that Shams's source was someone whose name rhymes with Ditch Call or Draymond Breen when he heard that. Like, now, I mean, I do think like, it could just be like when the government releases a bad economic report at 4:55 on a Friday. Mm-hmm. But this isn't even, you know, the Warriors don't play tomorrow. I mean, they don't play Wednesday. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is now that we've recorded this, the Speed Force.
We've recorded this in three separate parts throughout the day.
So a lot of Warriors fans are outraged. And the one thing I've seen is that people are upset that the report from Joe Dumars said that it was based on Draymond's history mm-hmm. of unsportsmanlike acts. And I read the article like, no, we're talking about right now. This isn't history. This is right now. That's a perfectly reasonable reason to suspend somebody.
Yep.
That's like, that's how punishment works pretty much since the code of Hammurabi.
I think people probably expect us as Warriors fans to be upset about this. And we are, in that I think this is maybe the end of the Steph Curry dynasty.
It could be. At least it's the end of this particular shape of the it's definitely the end of Draymond Green's portion of this dynasty, I would say.
It's definitely the end of a month of me not watching Anthony Lamb play basketball. I'll tell you that much. That much I know for sure is we are seeing fucking Anthony Lamb play basketball in a playoff game on Thursday
night. I'm going to say he's done worse things than Draymond Green has. Uh-huh. That's all.
Suspend him. Suspend him already. Suspend him right now.
But I mean, I want to say, like, maybe before they actually kicked Draymond out, you and I were texting each other about how we were like, that's 100% going to be a suspension.
Yeah.
I was honestly surprised. I mean, the only reason I didn't think he would get suspended is that his boss's 5'4 buddy tweeted that he wouldn't. Do you think he was wearing the leather jacket when he tweeted that, Joey? That leather jacket look he debuted recently?
I mean, he certainly was not excited for lunchtime. That's the other version of him. So, Sean.
Yes.
You write for a Golden State Warriors blog.
I do.
Is there a way that the Golden State Warriors don't go down 3-0 on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean,
is it?
Yeah, there is. I mean,
okay.
It's it's not like they lost either of these games by that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's bad that they're getting destroyed by DeMontis Sabonis, but this is also
it's
the
Alex
NBA
Len that's actually destroying them.
Yeah,
plus 21 in the series.
The number one, he's the best top five pick from the 2014 draft now, right? I mean, career wise, Victor Oladipo is better, but right now, Alex Len is the best performer from that group. It's also kind of weird that Alex Len wasn't on the Kings already. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it feels like
a washed out draft pick from it took him 8 years to land in Sacramento. That's crazy.
Look, I'll tell you one thing. There's only one thing I'm holding out hope for.
What's that?
It's Jonathan Kuminga sicko mode. That's the only chance here that I think for me to be a happy person. That is the only thing that that can fix this.
The other thing is the Warriors dynasty is built on winning games when they're getting their butts kicked on the offensive board. So it's not like that's that different, but I can just see them losing hope very quickly.
That to me is the problem here.
But, you know, I mean, they're going to play like they won't have to rest Curry because he has more time off. And, you know, he's still, what is he, like plus 14 in his minutes for the series or something like that? Like, it's not that crazy. It's just, it's not great that they are going to be starting Jonathan Kuminga and then the next big man off the bench is Jamichael Green.
It's Anthony Lamb.
And then after that, it's Anthony Lamb or Pat. I mean, it's maybe Anthony, you just play Lamb. Patrick Baldwin and just let him shoot threes. Like, come guard me. Come guard me on the perimeter.
I actually think the answer is it's going to be he's going to play a crazy lineup where Andrew Wiggins is playing center, actually.
Look, he can do it, dude. He's been tempered by the fire. He's a better center option than Karl Anthony Towns in these clubs. I'm just not surprised. Like, again, the only thing that made me not think this was essentially from, you know, Elon Musk actually labeled the Clutch Sports account LeBron Media. And that's, I mean, that's controversial, but, you know, in this one case, I think Elon might be right. He's a genius, Joey. Okay, how do you feel about Draymond right now, Joey?
I mean, my feelings are complicated. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't know. Like, he's embarrassing.
He's embarrassing. That's the main thing. It's like, I'm not taking anything away from his accomplishments. He's very good, but like, a lot of things about him are very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Number one, probably having a podcast. Again, the most embarrassing thing that a person could do.
Including but us. Like, including us. We should say.
Definitely including us. But also just that post-game press conference where he was acting like the victim. And then, like,
He hasn't podcasted yet.
That's true. I'm a little surprised at that. But also just, I don't know if there was a way to not get suspended once he did it. But I will say the way to guarantee he was suspended was to yell pussy at Adam Silver. Like, if he just kind of sat down, I could see them just being like, well, he's been punished. They lost the game. He's on a short leash.
It's like, at least before last season, I don't think people sort of realized that, like, this, like, preening wrestling heel Draymond is like a new development.
That is a new thing, because he would do things, but he wouldn't, like, dance in a guy's face after that. Yeah, and
or like demand that the crowd spit on him or whatever. Yeah, like he's
like
a...
that LeBron again, the 2016 LeBron play is a play where LeBron kind of stepped over him and it's almost unnoticeable. He does hit LeBron in the nuts, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But he's not necessarily trying to hit him in the anyway, but that just ends with the players being separated like a normal NBA play. And then the game just kind of continues.
Yeah. He's and not even like, when he kicked Steven Adams in the balls like several times, he wasn't like then.
Then he was like standing like over him.
He wasn't like T.O. on the Dallas Star, the Dallas Cowboys star to the crowd after he did it. You know?
Yeah, he started doing things that are like if the Washington Generals had like a hard R reboot, you know, where things he's doing are almost like pranks when he's like sitting on a guy, but then he's like calling him a pussy and kneeing him in the balls. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think this is actually very similar to what happened to the Dallas Mavericks, actually, is that Adam Silver doesn't like being embarrassed. And the Mavericks could have gotten away with their blatant tanking if Mark Cuban wasn't on the sidelines, like pumping his fist when they missed game tying shots, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's arbitrary, but also I'm kind of like fair, you know, don't do that. Like don't make it worse for yourself. And I don't know. It's also like, he's not quite as good anymore.
That,
and so he just doesn't have the leash.
Like overcompensating for kind of being bad sometimes. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
It's like a strange thing where it's like, I don't know. Actually, in this episode, Adam Morris makes a point about how everyone in the NBA is actually completely self-conscious. And now that I'm thinking about it, oh, this behavior is him, like, covering up the fact that he's not good enough anymore, huh?
and, like, embarrassed about what he did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure he regretted that, like, a couple seconds afterwards. But it's just not in him to not... Yeah. Wave on the crowd. And I guess it's probably easier for his self-image to be a victim of the league or Sabonis or whatever, but yeah, not great. Do you think, Joey, that he will be so in famously in the 2016 finals, he watched game 5 from the Oakland Coliseum across the street from the arena. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where that would be at the Chase Center.
It would be the Giants game, right?
No, it's not. It's not close now. It would have to be like, I think it's.
Well, he was only there because there was a chance they place? Won the finals, and he needed to go run and.
Yeah. But
Super Duper.
No, it's the something the, Roadhouse.
It's like a G, right?
Well,
he'll be in Thrive City or whatever that
he'll be in Thrive. He'll be somewhere in Thrive City. That's true. In
which,
order to
Gotts
Roadside,
Gotts
Roadside. That's where I think he'll be.
For listeners, we haven't ever talked about this yet. The Golden State Warriors are so depressing that they have named the area of their new arena Thrive City, and you're like, why Thrive City? And it's because that is Kaiser Permanente, the health insurer, their thing is Thrive. They do Thrive stuff. So very cool. Love it.
Well, Joey, Tyler Florence does have a Modern American Steakhouse there. Oh, so it could be that. They could be at Harmonic Brewery. He could be at Mission Bay Wine Bar. He's friends with LeBron. We know that LeBron is a wineaholic. Or he might just be at the Chase Branch, which is, has a lot of ATMs, actually. It's pretty impressive. All right, Joey, what's your prediction for game 3?
I actually think the Warriors win by like 8.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to win. And then they might drop game 4.
And then they're going to drop game 4, yeah. And
by the way, breaking news, I'm sorry.
Oh.
The Kings say that Domantas Sabonis is questionable for game 3. Uh-huh. With a sternum contusion.
Maybe that's why the NBA suspended him late, is they found out that Domantas Sabonis is actually hurt.
Yeah, like he can't take a deep breath.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were like, yeah, he doesn't have an x-ray. But also, someone stepped on his chest who weighs 250 pounds. So I also, just on a personal note, Joey, I woke up this morning and I had done 18 push-ups before bed, not bragging. And then at one point, the dog had fallen asleep on my left arm, and I woke up and my chest was so sore, and I was like, I feel like Sabonis right now. So again, we've suspended my dog, obviously. Yeah. Pinot Noir, you're in the dog
anyway
house, you
know? Here's back to us with the Denver dudes discussing this before this news came out. And yeah. Before this news went so viral.
If you want me to be honest with you, I still don't know how much the world may think it blew up.
Sparked by the leak of the video, the incident did blow up. It went viral.
Here, yeah, sure. I feel like we've naturally arrived
the
at that.
Yeah.
Another fellow podcaster.
Yeah. We usually don't talk about other podcasters on our show. But
yeah.
Here we go.
All right, we'll make an exception.
So the Warriors looked like they were making a rousing comeback in a game that they could have maybe lost by 25 points, it felt like, with the relentless Sacramento Kings. They were making a push. They were trailing by 4 points.
They were on a
6-0 corralled
run.
A rebound, yeah. And we're about to go down court. And it was a physical. I'm not blaming anybody. I don't think that Domantas Sabonis broke the code, but he kind of collided with Klay Thompson on the rebound. And when he was on the ground, he kind of grabbed Draymond Green's ankle, and Draymond Green responded by stomping on his chest and then
like
doing
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
And then doing like launching himself up, like he was on a slam ball court, and also weirdly doing like a Wizard of Oz-esque heel kick.
You're right. The heel click was there.
It was a little Charlie Chaplin action from the least.
And I have to say, it's one of the least surprising ejections in NBA history. They kind of just had to figure out, like, they had a long video review, and the entire time I was just getting texts. They're like, that's got to be an ejection. Like, that's.
And then while they were reviewing the play the entire time, Draymond Green is barking at 12 people that are flicking him off right to his face.
Who, by the way, are surrounded by the commissioner of the NBA. Like,
the commissioner
literally,
of the NBA is there.
Draymond is screaming loudly pussy into the crowd at Adam Silver.
Oh my God.
I didn't get that part.
It's wild. And he's also facing a lot of guys who both look like that graphic of like replies to a Trump tweet, but also kind of like me. You know, like I don't really look any different than that.
The glasses. People that the Good Liars interview for sure.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild. And then I wish it had just been that there wasn't the element of lobbying for suspensions, because obviously that's an easy ejection, and obviously Sabonis, you know, you shouldn't grab people's ankles either. And after the game, initially Sabonis was like, you know, what a win, you got to fight, crazy things happen in the playoffs. And then the Kings realize that Draymond could get suspended, and the Warriors also realize that Draymond could get suspended. So everybody goes into weird politics mode.
Well, I will say the Kings realized that before the you have the timeline wrong.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sabonis just
because Woj tweeted that Sabonis was getting X-rays on his lungs and ribs before Sabonis had left the court. He was like
X-rays
literally
on the lungs.
He was literally giving an interview with Lisa Salters or whatever. Like, as Woj tweeted that, he like missed. Scheduled the tweet where it should have been 10 minutes later than it was.
Oh my God. This whole thing is so dumb.
I liked how Steve Kerr decided in the press conference to just not say anything, just pretend that
he didn't see it.
He didn't see it.
I was too busy preparing for the next play. It was a reverse Detroit Lions Dan Campbell.
It almost. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's same. Of course he saw the play.
It might be, I'm just speculating here, but it kind of seems like Steve Kerr hates Draymond Green. I don't know. It's just kind of a hunch. Well,
I think he's been at that point since the Jordan Poole punch. But
possibly years. Yeah, he might be a guy he puts up with.
It made me think that Steve Kerr was like way more of a sociopath than I'd give him credit for, because he did not even flinch. At
when
that blatant lie, just like didn't see it.
He was like, I was preparing my team, and
you know,
he didn't even name an assistant. He said, and then one of my coaches came up and said, I think Draymond's getting ejected.
We say he brought up the possibility of Draymond getting ejected from again something that was going on the court. I was honestly figuring out a side out of bounds play.
Sounded like a tobacco executive testifying to Congress. That was what that answer was like.
No, I haven't read those studies. Mostly just thinking about a smooth tobacco flavor. I guess
I will say, as a Warrior fan, this one was very telling to me. That, like, the Warriors are actually done with Draymond. Because, like, normally when something like this happens, Kerr would give the, like, standard response where he's like, Draymond plays with an edge, and sometimes he steps over it, and we need that edge. And he instead opted to say nothing. It was like a real, like, my mom said, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
No,
response.
It's worse. It's more cynical than this, though.
Yeah.
It's the worst trope in sports. It's the, this guy has major character flaws. He's an asshole. But it's like, but that's what makes him a good defensive player. It's like, there's maybe a little truth to this.
Yeah.
Little runs hot. But this idea that like Draymond hasn't been doing this stuff for 10 years and we've just been like, we're fine with it because we win championships. Like, no, man, this is a guy who's always a maniac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you break it down like Zapruder film style, like if Sabonis is on his back, at best case scenario, Draymond Green's burned up all of his goodwill because, like Joey said, he's hit everybody in the nuts and done all of this stuff for dozens and over 100 times in his career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sabonis, when you play basketball as a big guy, Adam, you know, but no, like,
I know, man.
Adam is a guy who wore number 50 his whole career. You know that when you fall on your back and you see a big dude about to step on you, you might go like this, and then all of a sudden there's a leg between your arms, and then Draymond's going like trying to pull away, and he steps down. That's the best case scenario, right?
I think that is the best case scenario, but I also think you're giving Sabonis too much credit there.
Like, credit. That was a weird thing where they were like, he was protecting his face, and I'm like, that's not where his arms are.
but what I do think
they
is
they clearly are both, you know, at fault in their own.
The thing about Draymond is when he did the whole walk around, yell at the crowd, you know, all these different things, it does remind me, like, you ever have the friend that like gets kicked out of a restaurant and like you get in the car and they're like, man, how about that guy? What an asshole. And you're like, no, you're the asshole.
Yeah. Like,
that's what the whole moment was.
Yeah, Andy Jewett. That's my friend.
Me in Vegas. Yeah.
You believe the nerve of that waitress? My God.
What I was going to say though is normally when Draymond is doing the like, I'm getting kicked out, like Steph would be the one like, calm down, Draymond, like walking him out. And Steph just stared at him fucking pissed. Like, this was the first time I was like, oh, Draymond just lost Steph here. Like,
yeah. So
this is the first time he's lost them a game that's not NBA finals.
It's weird because in 2016 he did get suspended from the finals, which was not good, but it was a weird thing for hold on just a second.
Is your dog touching your microphone, Sean?
I'm sorry, that was an intolerably loud bone at my anyway. Back in 2016, Draymond Green for sure should have been suspended for all the times he kicked Steven Adams or body slamming Michael Beasley. The one thing he actually did get a suspension for, though, was like kind of incidental. Like LeBron kind of shoved him down and he knocked him over. And like at the time, no one even noticed that anything had happened. Yeah. So I think that
like
saved
a little slap to him like that.
Yeah. And it wasn't even called a foul at the time. And hold on, sorry.
All right. Sean has a new puppy, guys. That's what's going on here.
That dog has 10 million toys. And okay.
And that brings us to our sponsor, Chewy.com. Yeah. Promo code Keen. K-E-A-N-E. Keen. Thank you.
So anyway, this is the first one where, and then last year he got kicked out of a game, but it was kind of like he got.
They were already down by 60 in Memphis or whatever.
No. He got kicked out of the early game. And they were like, that was a flagrant, but like he got two flagrants on one play and they ended up winning. And so there's always been like at least a little bit where it's like, well, the refs were unfair. That guy was a dick. Here it's like, oh, that's a bonus thing. Because especially if he had just like fallen down or tripped, he would have actually gotten the flagrant call on Sabonis, and I mean they were going to win the game. And that's
we started recording about this. I was like, in my like thousands of hours watching basketball, I have seen a guy falling down grab a guy's leg probably 100 times.
Yeah.
And I've only ever seen the grabber get stomped in the ribs one time.
Yeah. You raise a very good point.
How did you feel about Draymond's excuse that he had a three-prong case? One was that his leg had been grabbed twice in two games.
Hey, well, that's an accumulation. That's okay.
Number two, he didn't even mean to stump because he needed his leg to to land somewhere. And number three, he would have avoided his chest if he was just more flexible. If he had done more stretching, he would not have stomped on a helpless opponent's chest.
I would generally say,
if you want me to be honest with you, I still don't know how much the world may think it blew up.
Sparked by the leak of the video, the incident did blow up. It went viral.
I would say it went viral.
It went viral.
He's just promoting his podcast. That's all.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys are, look, I don't want to jinx anything, but this is going to be a victory in four or five games for the Denver Nuggets. It's, I mean, they're just better, and Rudy Gobert is hurt psychologically and physically.
they couldn't, I mean, it's barely being talked about. Like, we're all nerds and we're all immersed in it. So, like, we know, but like, they really could use Jaden McDaniels right now. Mm-hmm. They could really use, they could have used Rudy the other night. Mm-hmm. You know,
they could use like Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley too, or Walker Kessler. They could use him. Like, a lot of guys they say goodbye to.
Lauri Markkanen. They could use Lauri Markkanen.
They could use D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, no. It seems weird though.
Kevin
like,
Love, they could use Kevin
Trent
Love.
Hassel. Let's just keep going, guys. Let's see how far we can go. They Sam seem Cassell, like if they had him.
They seem leaderless. It does seem like a foregone conclusion that we'll win the series. However, we've been through this enough where we all know that someone can get hurt. Someone, which is obvious, but someone or the three or four people can have a bad game, and then all of a sudden, twice, and then all of a sudden, the pressure's on. And, you know, I like to think that it's going to be a four or five game series. I don't think it'll be more than six. But, you know, Anthony Edwards could score 40 points. I do think Karl Towns and Rudy Gobert have shown time and again that Rudy less so would talk. But whatever their attitudes are, their perceived attitudes, like, they don't deliver. Like, I'm so out on them, as talented as they are. Like Adam said, Rudy Gobert was great for a long stretch. I'm not saying either of them are bad players. I just feel like Towns won the 3-point contest and that's perfect. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that feels like,
and he acted like he won a championship when it happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just, the longer the game, I do this,
like, what
the
time
more
is it? In the end of the game, he's like, they had all our plays.
The longer I do this, man, the more I just think that these guys are all super talented. The difference is a lot about mentality and connectedness, and you know, obviously talent plays a part in it as well. But the Nuggets, to me, have gone through a lot of battles, a lot of overcome a lot, figured out who they are. They know who they are. They're all pulling in the same direction. And I just think the Timberwolves are a team that has, they don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, like, they're a talented player, but they don't realize that they don't have all of the institutional knowledge you get from getting your ass kicked in the playoffs by better teams. They just haven't done that enough. And also, maybe at this moment in time, don't have the self-reflection to realize that. I mean, the Nuggets have been humiliated a lot, you know, in their rise and their ascension, and they've overcome a lot and they've done all these things, and guys have been kicked out and brought in and different things. And I just think Minnesota hasn't been there yet.
Yeah. And I mean, who's the team leader of the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Big part of it.
It might be Anthony Edwards, honestly.
It's Anthony Edwards.
And that's just,
I don't think it is.
I mean, it will be Anthony Edwards.
It will be, but I think it's Carl Anthony Towns. And again, I think this is part of the problem. Yeah. Again, I love Towns. It's not against him, but he's not that guy.
Yeah, the problem is it's not Patrick Beverley, which is when... All right. There's two more specific questions I want to ask you guys before we let you go. And the first one, this is just a general question to the room. Do any of you know any billionaires?
I guess that's for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to tell the listeners which billionaire you know?
Yeah, I mean, it could sound like we hang out and we've kept in touch all these years religiously, but we haven't. But I grew up with the now owners of the Phoenix Suns, Justin Ishbia and Matt Ishbia. Mm-hmm. And in Little League, my dad and my best friend's dad were like one set of coaches. And Justin Ishbia was my age, and his dad and this other guy, Eric Eager's dad, was the other coach. And, you know, for years, I mean, they were like definitely the better team than us overall. And Justin was a travel baseball player and the Ishbias have some athleticism. But I do remember like Matt Ishbia, who's like mostly in the spotlight with it. You know, he was like 1 foot tall and, you know, a really cool and sweet guy, but like a mouthy little hustler. And, you know, I definitely grew up with those guys. I'm not, you know, I don't talk to them really much at all now, but they were, I definitely remember like thinking like when all that went down, I'm like, you know, unilaterally, we can pretty much all be like, fuck billionaires. Cause of course, but the, you know, those guys are interesting cats and they were always sweethearts and they come.
Oh, I hate to hear this.
Yeah.
Good stock. And
they were going to give us some dirt, man. What is this?
I remember his dad's mortgage company.
Really good pitcher.
I remember his dad and his and the mortgage company and all that. And they had a few employees. And I think when he retired, his dad had like 10 employees. They got 20,000 employees. It's the biggest mortgage company in the world. Like those guys hustled balls. And I'm not saying like work hard, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and become the.
What I'm hearing.
But I am saying that of heinous billionaire culture, my experience with the Ishbias was that they're great dudes. And there's a reason that Matt Ishbia was on the 2000 national championship Michigan State team.
Yeah. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah. The real message of our podcast, why we had you guys on.
That's cool.
So my question for you, knowing the Ishbias sort of. How is he going to react when Chris Paul dribbles the ball off his foot falling down in game 7 of the Western Conference Finals to lose the game because he tried to do a grift?
He'll ship him. He'll do what he did with KD, which is immediately make an impact by shipping him. He wants I think he wants to be a good active owner. He's very much a rah-rah guy.
Yeah, that always works.
He is 100% trading Chris Paul though. I mean, he tried to do it already.
I have a prediction for the funniest thing that could happen this offseason. After Chris Paul does Chris Paul things and the Suns lose early, Matt Ishbia trades DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul for Clint Capella and Trae Young. That to me, and like more, you know, stuff to balance it
whatever
out. That child, well, there's a 23-year-old guy in charge in Atlanta and him finally going to Atlanta after all this time and this child owner being like, he's the piece.
The child king of the Hawks.
The funniest thing in the world.
He's been mad about drafting Marvin Williams for
since he was 7 years old.
Oh, my God.
All I was going to say is I think he'll be aggressive like he is in life. I think he'll make moves like the KD thing because he is an attacker and he's on offense.
Yeah, just like he aggressively forecloses on all those houses. All right.
I do like that. What made me like him is that he has this blood feud with the Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert that has nothing to do with basketball.
Yeah.
And it's such an insane story. Like Ishbia and Gilbert are not part of the craziest part, which is that some like third party Ishbia loyalist was like, you know, he banged your wife in college or something. And it was like, not even, it was just so insane. Like, and there was somebody,
Dan Gilbert was the only guy who didn't vote to approve him as an owner.
Oh yeah. 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 He abstained. And like the NBA is always 30s it on all their votes too. So
it's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. There's also apparently some deal where Justin Ishbia moved to like an area that was like a wildlife type area and then just like bought it all and like closed it off to the public. And now the people locally are pissed. And so
I can understand why they'd be mad about that. Yeah.
It's people's stuff, guys. They're just like,
All right. The last thing I want to do with you guys, Sean, do you have one more question? Do you have anything else you want to ask our Denver friends?
No, I don't have another question for them except, do you consider this a revenge series against Austin Rivers? I kind of feel like every NBA player is always having a revenge game against Austin Rivers, including his own father.
I love Austin Rivers. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't know if this is unpopular opinion. I think he seems like a pretty interesting guy.
I mean, it's an unpopular opinion if you're Doc Rivers.
That was messed up, man. No, he loved Yoke. He loved being in Denver. I think the same of Tim Connelly, man. I just get this sense. I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm projecting here. Probably am. I just get a sense that the people leave Denver and go to a place like Minnesota and they're like, what the hell is this? This is all backwards. This sucks. I went from Jokic to Towns. I went from, you know, this to that. I just, that's what I think both of those guys feel. But
I went from having draft picks to I've traded them all. Anyway.
Exactly. Austin Rivers is like our, you know, he was like a stray cat. We brought him in and, you know, we kind of liked him. So he was battered out there by other people. And now he's probably battered there in that horrible locker room that seems to hate each other.
He does seem like an okay person. He should not have been playing the amount he was playing in last year. There shouldn't be a thing.
Wasn't his fault.
Absolutely. There shouldn't be such a thing, though, as the Austin Rivers game in the
play. Man, I'm going to disagree. That made it. That was one of my favorite games as a Nugget. The Austin Rivers game, giving the business to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet you like his tattoos too, don't you?
Oh. All right, guys.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I want to play a little game with you real quick before we leave. It's a game I'm going to start playing with every team-specific fan we have on. I have currently the basketball reference page of the Denver Nuggets career offensive rating leaders.
Okay.
Just for some context, the all-time leader for the Golden State Warriors is Kevon Looney. Yeah. Kevon Looney.
I would believe it.
He just aced out. He just passed Mario Elie this year.
So I'll give you a little hint.
Nikola Jokic won or Michael Porter won. It's got to be one of those
two. Nikola Jokic is
one,
correct.
There you go.
Number two has been, we've mentioned him on this podcast.
Monte Morris.
Monte Morris is three.
Oh, so close.
The third greatest player in Denver Nuggets history.
Say that again.
Is Mason Plumlee in the top 10?
Mason Plumlee is not on the list, but I would say.
In field goal percentage all time, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. I would say a guy kind of in the vein of, he's like, if Mason Plumlee was not athletic and also balding is number four. Not a current player, but the baldest player I can think of, maybe.
Oh.
Michael Porter is five, by the way, you said Michael Porter.
Okay. Yeah.
Offensive rating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Linus Klaza?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's, oh, boy.
I mean, I have to think with
God, that.
One
of my favorite
Nugs. Chris Anderson? You said he's bald.
Yeah, you male pattern bald, like Larry David bald, not like shaved cool NBA player bald.
Like he's got a Friar Tuck or he looks like Jeff Green.
Is this guy like a Friar Tuck? I would say.
Is this guy a fake Euro?
Yes, he is. He is a fake Euro. Yes.
Oh, I Costa Koufos.
Costa Koufos, number four.
Wow.
You guys still need number two. Number two is a current Nugget.
Jamal, right?
No.
Aaron Gordon?
No, Aaron Gordon is seven all time.
KCP?
No.
Is there anybody
think
left?
A bigger man.
DeAndre.
Not DeAndre.
I don't
maybe
think he's played
someone,
quite
this
enough
man
yet.
Wants, I would say most of the fan base wants this man to play more than DeAndre.
Zeke Nagy?
Zeke Nagy is number two all time for the Denver Nuggets in offense.
The second greatest offensive player in Nuggets history.
That one's actually wild because he doesn't play with Jokic that much. So that's especially weird. Most of these guys are just like close to Jokic. You know,
all right,
like
right.
Five is Michael Porter. Six is a man. I think he's
I love this. Six is the man.
Six is the only old player on this list, I would say. The only non, he's like modern-ish. He's
Kiki
famous.
Vandeweghe.
Kiki Vandeweghe, exactly. Number six. Didn't even have to bring up his draft history with the Nuggets. All right.
Another 55, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shouts of that.
Shout out to 55.
Number eight and nine were on the same team who were
Ty Lawson?
No. Nine, I forgot. Nine, I actually don't think played with eight. Eight is a New York legend.
Carmelo.
No. He's part of that trade, though.
Is he hated by the city of Portland?
Danilo Gallinari?
Danilo Gallinari is number eight. Number nine is, I would say, a Colorado institution. Chauncey Billups. And then number 10. How do I give a hint for number 10?
Wow.
This is going to be great.
It's like Michael Cage. Yeah.
Number 10.
Well, first of all, do you know who it is?
Yes.
It's a name you do recognize.
Yes. Okay. It's number 10. He played for 10 years in the NBA. He was a shooting guard. He played
Michael
from
Adams?
99 to 2009.
Robert Pack?
He played two years in Denver. Right. 04, 05, and 05, 06.
Is it Andre Miller?
No. I would know how to give a hint about Andre Miller.
He played only 2 years in Denver?
He played only 2 years in Denver.
Shooting guard, and that era, was it? Yeah.
You got Dante Jones?
It's not Dante Jones, but I would say it's similar to Dante Jones. Not Aaron Aflalo. He played for the Mavericks for 3 years, the Sixers for 2 years, and the Mavericks... Again, when he was old, his final year was with Minnesota. Well, I mean, sorry, with Memphis.
Wait, it was 6 years with the Mavericks to start, though?
3 years with the Mavericks to start. Okay. Then 2 years with the Sixers in 02, 03, and 03, 04.
And he's
then 2 years
then he
in
came
Denver.
To Denver for, to, be con- to play with Andre Dale and Melo.
No. He was longer.
What school did he go to? Why can't I remember?
Oh, this is
what would you say his main skill is?
Defense? Yeah.
This is the defensive mold here around that era. Trying to think of who they were. They had like DeMar Johnson, and then they had Yakuba Diawara.
This can help. He's an associate head coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers currently.
Oh, man. I wish that helped.
He's a CBA. He played in the CBA at one point in 98-99.
Oh. What's his favorite food? Maybe that'll help.
He went to Clemson.
I feel like I should know these context clues, but I'm not getting it.
Went to Clemson.
I'm going to kick myself for not knowing who the shooting guard was in the early go of that era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the right before Dante Jones era. So I don't, I'm and he's on who
the,
it was.
He's on the Dirk Nash Finley Mavs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe he's in the Nick Van Exel trade.
Oh my God.
He started two playoff games in 2005 and four playoff games in 2006.
Man, this is a bummer. I
We're
don't
gonna
know.
Need
I
the think initials.
Not like, yeah. Not like Corey. It's not Corey
his
Brewer.
His initials are GB.
Oh, man. I know who you're talking about. Greg Buckner. There
Greg
it is.
Greg Buckner.
Wow.
Number 10.
That's who it was. I can't believe that.
Amazing. The 10th best offensive player in Nuggets history. By the way, I just want to share this this Gallinari fact. So he got traded from the Knicks pretty early in his NBA career to Denver. And his jersey was hanging in the front window of the New York Italian-American museum in Little Italy, and I saw it there and I was like, wow, they're still holding on to Gallinari. This is like 2012. Years later I came back and they actually had Andrea Bargnani on the team at the time, and it was still Gallinari's jersey in the same spot.
All right,
Gallo
guys.
Seems very Italian though. It fits.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming on. Let's start with Andy. Andy, where can our listeners find you? And what do you want to plug? Anything you want to plug?
You can find me on Twitter or anything at Andy Jewett, AndyJewett. In terms of plugging, I have a television pilot that I filmed with Michael Madsen and three of the five Super Troopers dudes. And a French actor named Mathilde Olivier, who's incredible. She was the French villager in the J.J. Abrams movie Overlord, if you ever saw that. Mm-hmm. She was on 1899 recently on Netflix. Anyway, I produced and created a show called Offline that's about life after the internet goes away that is premiering at Denver Series Fest May 7th. It's a big TV festival that happens to be in Denver. So it'll be premiering there. And Eric Stolhansky from Broken Lizard will be there. You should all come out, buy tickets, listen to us talk in a Q&A. It'll be great.
Adam, where can our listeners find you and read you and listen to you?
I barely write anymore, but they can listen to the DNVR Nuggets podcast or the Locked On Nuggets podcast if you want a more serious podcast, I would say.
Yeah.
Or the DNVR Nuggets podcast.
Great. Nuggets Sean, podcast. Is there anything you need to plug?
You can see me. I'm going to be closing things out at the San Francisco Punchline on Tuesday, April 25th. Nice. And then, I got a show in, but I'll hype the Sacramento show later. Yeah. And my new album has been named America's Uncle Dad. That'll be coming out soon.
Perfect. And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where I don't have them pulled up. Give me 1 second. He didn't tweet anything funny in the last month because he's too busy NASCAR driving, but give me 1 second.
That's right.
Where on 3/12/14 6/12/14 I tweeted, just cracked my phone screen and I didn't even drop it, bent down in skinny jeans, kill me.
Classic.
Trust the process.
And you doing a bit there or like Jay Weingarten or what's happening?
Trust the process and shut it down. Let's all go get x-rays.
For all the times that you lost track of your man, and all the games you missed when you hurt your hand, the broke you when Wiggins apart sent him to Golden State. You sat for 4 years, but you could demand a trade. And maybe you're a superstar, but your defense sucks, so you have a bad point differential. You still got potential. And they could find another coach, but you didn't get any better after Coach Thibodeau was gone. Still scared of Taz Gibson. Flipsaw just didn't like you, and he likes everyone. And this Wolves roster was ruined by David Kahn. I thought your D would be alright. Didn't know you'd play Fortnite, but now I know. You're never sleeping until dawn, cause if you ain't playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should Kevin Love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should Kevin Love yourself. All those games where you didn't give a fuck, and that song Jimmy made you a cuck. There were games where your jumper looked nice, but you look lost every time Tibbs would yell ice. And maybe you could ask a son, but he doesn't want anyone thinking he's not the head honcho. You could play with Wancho. This team can't hurt anyone. No one can play defense aside from Josh Okogie. Glenn Taylor's an old fogey. Flips artist didn't like you, and he likes everyone. And this Wolves roster was ruined by David Kahn. I thought your D would be alright. Didn't know you'd play for that, but now I know. You're never sleeping until dawn, cause if you ain't playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should Kevin Love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should Kevin Love yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, the trumpet stylers of Jared Culver.
Got the talent to always be our league, but you really hated playing with Jeff Teague. You're always soaking your face as a frown. Shouldn't have sent Ricky Rubio out of town. Cause if you hate playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should Kevin Love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should Kevin Love yourself. Cause if you hate playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should Kevin Love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should Kevin Love yourself.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.